Rebel Extra is on the air. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra on ESPN 1100. Now, here's your host, Bernie Fratto.
Well, when they write the history books, there's little doubt that the 2016 calendar year will go down as one of the most notorious in UNLV Runnin' Rebel basketball history. On March 10th, the Rebels walked off the floor at the Thomas and Mack after losing in the quarterfinals of the Mountain West Conference Tournament. In mid-April, new coach Marvin Menzies was hired, and in fact, he would become our third coach in 90 days. But Coach Menzies went to work diligently and cobbled together a roster of young talent from all corners of the country. However, melding a new team, learning a new system, and creating a whole that is greater than the sum of its parts isn't so easy, and it doesn't happen overnight. Tonight would be the first test of the new regime, and for the record, UNLV had history on its side, as they've been 39-5 in season openers whenever the Rebels opened the season on their home floor. Also, 2-0 all-time versus South Alabama, but not tonight. A defensive-minded South Alabama Jaguar team took the lead with 9 minutes to go in the first half and never looked back. Final score, South Alabama Jaguars 76, UNLV Runnin' Rebels 68, and just like that, the future is here. Welcome back to another edition of Rebel Extra, the post-game show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV Runnin' Rebel basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park Legacy in Durango Hills, OB Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas. Diamondback Land Surveying, from brick walls to the Taj Mahal, Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds. If you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. Pizza My Dear with a smoking lunch deal, a 12-inch pizza for only $5 with two locations. Go to pizzamydear.com. We come to you after every game again this season. Want to hear from you, Las Vegas, 364-1100. So give us a call and be part of the action, or you can text your thoughts at 69187, preface with ESPN. Before I go any further, let me introduce my broadcast team. To my left, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together, is, of course, producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado, and he'll also be taking your calls at 364-1100. And to my right, I'm joined by the man, the hardest-working man in all of radio. That would be Mitch Motz. Mitch, we've got a lot to talk about tonight, some statistics that'll make your eyes pop out, but let's just get it rolling. You've got the floor, my friend.
I'm going to start by pointing out a couple of the positives that I noticed tonight. And one would be a tip of the cap to the fans in the city of the program. I, for one, Bernie, now it was not a sellout tonight at the Thomas and Mack, but correct me if I'm wrong on this, was that not a good, lively crowd tonight?
It was an excellent crowd.
I thought it really was an excellent crowd tonight.
I don't know what the numbers were. Probably somewhere 8,000 range, I'm guessing. That part doesn't matter. It was the spirit and the energy, as you alluded to. With about a minute to go in the first half, it was a fairly close game. And, of course, South Alabama ended up leading at halftime 34-30. But with about a minute to go, Troy Baxter had a great block shot, mm-hmm. and the Rebels went the other way. They didn't convert, but the crowd came out of their seats,
yeah.
and you could feel that they were going to get behind this team. We all realize this is uncharted territory, yep. but the crowd was engaged.
I'm terrible at guessing crowd sizes. Like, it could have been 13,000, and I would guess 6,000. I mean, I have no clue.
I'm no good either. But
tonight, with how lively it was,
yes.
it played like a really large crowd. And so I would take that. Sign me up right now for that kind of a crowd at the Thomas and Mack all year long. I thought that was really cool. And one game in, I was very impressed with Christian Jones. One heck of a ball player.
The transfer from St. John's, a 6'7 senior. He's built like a man. Mm-hmm. He's terrific down low around the rim. As we talked about off air, he's got that terrific mid-range jumper.
Oh, forget about it from 15 feet on the baseline.
He squares up nicely. His release point is consistent. He knocked down that shot right left in his Rebel debut, for the record. And we'll get to this kind of stuff later. Had a double-double, 20 mm-hmm. points, 10 rebounds.
So, great performance from him. Now, those were two positives. How many negatives do we have to go over from tonight? Quite a few. And where to begin? The point guard play was alarming to me.
That is a real red flag. This team, now Jalen Poizer is the point guard. He comes back for a sophomore year. He's a skillful player. He's a good player. He's not a floor general. A point guard is a position you play with your eyes. We were not patient offensively. Patience breaks you down. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a lot of possessions where we got the ball moving side to side. There was not a lot of movement. We weren't able to get the bigs move. We didn't force South Alabama to work a lot on defense. Conversely, they forced us to do a lot of things we didn't want to do. Rebels had 16 turnovers. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that bothered me, and then let's get to the callers, Mitch, I want you to respond to this. I know you saw it. You've got an eagle eye. Poizer has this habit of driving into traffic. There could be two guys, three guys, four guys, and he spins. He does this spin move when there's nothing but bodies. And the problem with the spin move is when you spin into traffic and turn your back on the basket, you come out of your spin, you have to make a read. You automatically assume you're going to have a look at the basket, and all of a sudden there's three bodies. And South Alabama had good athletes. That habit has to stop. There were too many empty possessions. There were too many bad decisions on offense. There were too many times down the floor. As you said, off air, the Rebels would get it to one.
Oh, it was a killer tonight.
The Rebels already had trouble driving the ball into the paint to create offense. South Alabama was active down low. Again, 416 turnovers. But it would create a possession that was empty, and the Jaguars, South Alabama Jaguars, did a great job on their runouts of getting the ball and going the other way.
Yeah, how many times tonight
did? A ton.
And South Alabama had the lead from, what, the middle portion of the first half until the end of the game?
Never look back.
And how many times when it would get to five or get to seven, suddenly it's back down to one or two, and the crowd's going nuts, and then, oh, within 30 seconds, it's back to five. And then it's back to seven. You're like, what? That was the story of the game. Once the team got it down to two, they could not get a stop, and that was it. A
lot to talk about. We're going to get to more observations, more analysis, some individual performances, team and individual statistics. But as always, this is your show, Las Vegas. We want to hear from you, 364-1100. Rebel Extra is a show designed to get the community involved as we embark on another season of running Rebel basketball. So without further ado, let's go out to the phone lines. We're joined by Kevin. Kevin, get us started off for a new season of Rebel Extra.
Gentlemen, what a great time of the year. We're lucky to have you guys here. I'm not just saying that to blow smoke. I'm glad we have this show. We're lucky to have that in Southern Nevada. Nobody told me to call. So I got two questions for you guys. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay, first question is this. And if you guys could answer these questions, I'd appreciate it. Is UNLV basketball in a better spot than it was 1 year ago today? That's my first question. And then my second question is, what is the worst and best case scenario for UNLV basketball? So is it in a better spot? And then what can you guys see for this year?
Okay, so worst and best case for this year you're talking about?
I assume you mean by record, Kevin? You want us to project a record?
No. No, not for this year, Bernie. I'm just saying, what can you guys see for this year in regards to, like, can anything really good happen, or is there anything that you guys can foresee that would be just astronomically horrible? And then, is more importantly, I want you guys to answer, is UNLV, because if you look at their roster from last year, at 1 year ago today, they have six guys that are earning income as a professional basketball player, either in the D-League or in the NBA this year. So do they have better players right now today? Or, like, is UNLV basketball, when they made the change, is it in a better spot? Do you guys feel it's in a better spot?
Keep them on the line, Bobby. Here's the situation. This is why it's almost superfluous to answer the question for one reason. We don't know what this season's going to bring us, except the fact that Rome wasn't built in a day. I know that sounds cliche. So are we in a better situation now? I'll let you know in 4 months. Last year's team started out 7-1. They beat Indiana, as Mitch alluded to. Yet, after going 0-3, the unthinkable happened. The 0-3 in conference, the unthinkable happened, and our coach was released. Coach Rice made his debut 5 years ago tonight, November 11th, 2011. They beat Grand Canyon, started out 8-0, beat North Carolina. So we can't glean too much tonight because we're in a total rebuild. In terms of, I believe, the mental state of the program, And I've talked to Matt Eumanns a lot about this. What happened had to happen in retrospect. They're probably in a better mental state. We don't have better players now. We don't have NBA players on the floor right now. I don't believe it's realistic to believe that this team can win a conference tournament, get a postseason bid. So this is the beginning of a long 2-3 year journey. So in terms of the state of the program, I believe philosophically, theoretically, people would argue we're probably in a better situation now. And let's give Marvin Menzies a chance. I think he's an experienced guy. He took the job in April. He cobbled together a team out of nothing in just a matter of time, short matter of time. And there are some pluses. Troy Baxter looks like a plus. That's number one. Number two, let's hold off on the doomsday scenario versus the pot of the gold at the end of rainbow scenario. We just haven't seen enough yet, Kevin.
Yep, I agree with you guys. Let's give them a year. The only thing I'm hoping for is exciting games, right? I mean, if he's got a year past Bernie, right, why not lose 93-87 than a low-scoring game? So if you got a free pass, why not ball up and just go for the year? That's what I'm looking at.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. Yep. You want to add to that, Mitch?
Yeah, I would say this, and I like the way he phrased that. Is the program in better shape today than it was 1 year ago? And I would answer that with this. It's something that I always say. It's based on what your expectations would be. Bernie, you said, yes, clearly this program had better players a year ago. I mean, my goodness, Marvin Menzies had to start from scratch because of the defections and basically having nobody come back from the team a year ago. So he's starting from scratch from a team that did have a lot of talent, but a team that repeatedly had talent under the previous regime that would fall on its face and never live up to high expectations. So in terms of better overall shape, would you rather have that every single year where you're talking about future NBA players on the roster where they would finish below 500 in conference play and not make the NCAA tournament? Or would you just look, and again, it's not in better shape. It doesn't have better players. But starting right now and looking ahead, be on board with it.
Here's where I check in on that. And Jake, hang in there. We'll be right with you in just a second. I'm enthusiastic about watching what happens this season, whatever this may be. Now you're looking at a guy who covered the Detroit Lions for 10 years. Okay, the first year I covered the team was Barry Sanders last year. The last year I covered the team, they were 0-16, and I saw everything in between. But, Mitch, in a 12-day span, we've got Duke, Kansas, and Oregon, 1-3-5. You get to go to Arizona State and at least try to pay Bobby Hurley back. Oh, by the way, November 30th, first two road game. You tee it up against Todd Simon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Southern Utah will bring it. That will be an exciting basketball game. Then conference play will start. Three of the first five games on the road. At New Mexico. At Utah State.
Mm-hmm.
At Colorado State. Tough places. I want to see what's going to happen. I want to see how this team reacts. As we talked with Mitch and Pritch last week. How do we know? We don't know you don't know what you don't know because this team hasn't gotten out there yet.
Yeah, you have no idea what to make of this team. I know I was talking to Ed Graney today off the air, and he's like, how do odds makers actually put a number on this game tonight? And they were favored by six, give or take, whatever.
The send-off line was 8, and it got steamed down to 5, and I looked at the numbers and said, how could you do that? Well, both teams last year gave up 73 points, but the Rebels averaged 8 more per game, so I guess it was as simple as that.
Yeah, I don't even know
but
how
South
you would...
Alabama, even though... By the way, they're picked to finish 5th in the Sun Belt Conference. They're 14-19 last year. But they've got some athletes, all right? Just ask San Diego State what they did to their football team. They've got some athletes down there in Mobile. They had a good-looking transfer from Loyola Marymount, Nick Stover. This guy went out there at 5 o'clock. He's just draining threes. He had 12 points like the first 3 minutes he was on the floor. They're going to compete. These are Division I athletes. They give scholarships on the other side as well. So let's see what happens. Mitch, we called last season a journey because at every turn something new would happen.
And this year, I know that Robert and John were kicking it around at the end of the broadcast when they said tonight's result really wasn't that surprising. I wasn't surprised that they got beat tonight. And I'll tell you that thinking about the season overall, I had this team pegged for somewhere between 10 and 12 wins on the year. I'm seeing a lot of overreaction on Twitter, and people are like, "Oh my God, Menzies, it's the same thing." It's what are you talking about?
You know why I brought up the fact that they started 8-0 in 2011 and started 7-1 last year? Because it didn't necessarily lead anywhere. You don't know. Let's let the season play out. Now were simply too inexperienced, I think, to be a formidable contender. We may win 10 games this year, but that's not an indictment of anything other than the fact you need to rebuild. I've seen winning programs. What was Tom Crean 3 years ago at Indiana? 6-25?
On the way out the door, we thought, right?
And, oh, by the way, I think, did you get to the, Sweet 16 last year, Elite 8, whatever? All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Jake. Jake, thanks for weighing in tonight on Rebel Extra.
Hey, thanks for having me. I sure am glad that the smart people got rid of Dave Rice in the middle of last season, so we're in this position that we're in. Really excited.
Right. Well, listen, that's one of those deals where hindsight's always going to be 20/20. Mitch, you and I were on record, at least I was. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I did not want that to happen. I did not, and I'll tell you why. I kept these notes, Mitch, from last January. UNC, Wilmington, Penn, LSU, Bama, Georgia, a ton of programs. Well, not a ton, a handful of programs that let their coach go in the middle of the season in the last decade, and all these programs are irrelevant now. Now, look, I've talked to people smarter than me that are closer to the situation, and they tell me it had to happen, all right? I'm not in a position to really argue. Yeah. However, what did it create? Potentially the law of unintended consequences. Fair? We don't know, but you're either behind this team or you're not. I got to tell you, I had a good feeling driving to the arena tonight, not so much predicated on what the outcome might be, but the fact that, hey, it's a Friday night, it's basketball in Las Vegas, we got, 18 games at home, you got 18 days out of 365. The music, the energy, the competition, I enjoy it from the standpoint of being a fan, and maybe that's the best we're going to have this year. But I'll take it.
College basketball, the season generally goes by pretty fast. It's only a few months out of the year. 4 or 5 months out of the year, and that's it?
That's it.
I know last year's season was really long for UNLV with what happened. I'm with you, though. What we talked about that last year during when it was taking place, Bernie. I'm not a fan of getting rid of a coach midseason. I didn't like that move with Dave Rice. There wasn't really a game plan in place. And you saw that unfold when they didn't know who the next guy was going to be. And then they had to, kind of throw darts to see which guys we're going to talk to. And then it's going to be Mick Cronin. And then, it's going to be Chris Beard. And then, that lasts for a week. And then what do we do at that point? I mean, I didn't like it. We didn't like it back then. I know Jake was being a pansy right there by hanging up. He thought he's Mr. Funny Guy. But, yeah, we weren't big fans of that move.
Well, people are going to overreact. I hope Jake calls back again. If you're invested enough to care and want to wait online and call, I want to hear what you've got to say. The bottom line, though, is used the word, Mitch, about 5 minutes ago, expectations. This is my sixth year doing Rebel Extra. Every other year, there's been huge, quote, expectations. My second year, the Rebels had Anthony Bennett, who ended up being the number one pick in the NBA. On a Monday night game against Northern Arizona, the Thomas and Mack was sold out. There were expectations.
Sure.
That was the fall of 2012.
By the way, go back to last year. Do you know what I saw a lot of? The reaction was going into the season. I heard this from many fans. Oh, we're winning 25 games minimum.
Mitch, you and I went through an exercise. We went through every home game on the whiteboard, every conference game. We had the Rebels 12-4. I bought in. I believed it. And then guess what? Life happened.
Yeah.
Between injuries, free throws that weren't made, an occasional box out, a missed layup at the end of a game, and all of a sudden the Rebels are 0-3 in conference. But juxtaposed against expectations, it was the end of the world. It was skies falling radio for the rest of the year. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Mark. Mark, thanks for checking in tonight on Rebel Extra.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Great. Hey, the one thing I noticed was every time we got close, when I think it's Jovan Mooring?
Mooring. Mooring. M-O-O-R-I-N-G. Jovan Mooring.
Yeah. That kid kind of killed us on some plays. When we got close, he would just kind of get a little reckless and go out of control right to the basket and end up turning the ball over, and that really stymied some of our comebacks and just momentum, just a momentum killer right there. And then my other question for you guys, how much better do you think we'll be once we get Dwayne Morgan back from injury and the other kid that's injured?
Cheikh Ndebele, who you're referring to, is a 6'11 center. He's got a heel foot issue. I think he's going to be perceived as more of a project, but Mitch, I got to believe Dwayne Morgan's going to help us around rim protection and rebounding.
Well, yeah.
And he's an energy guy. Maybe not a stats guy, but an energy guy.
As Robert and John were saying, going to be a while, though, before those guys are going to be ready to play.
Well, and of course, Mark, Dwayne Morgan had hip surgery, and I really don't know how that's healing. They're being nonspecific about it, but he's got to heal from that surgery.
Thanks for the phone call, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Don't be a stranger.
Some of the tweets here that we're getting. Richard Croft sends a tweet that says, a school that has a national title loses to a team I've never heard of before. Not good. Doug, one of our strong listeners that chimes in all the time, Vegas Doug, says, UNLV basketball is at a 10-year low. The Menzies era will be awful.
Well, the era? I mean, I'm willing to concede that this season's going to be rough. It's going to be a rough season.
Yes, it is.
Look, Mitch, there were some oddball statistics tonight. And I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back on the other side. We will get into some of the individual performances and the team statistics. One sticks out. You have to scratch your head that if somebody would have showed me the statistic before the game, I would have said the Rebels would have won by 10. He's Mitch Moss. I'm Bernie Fratto. We are back for another season of Rebel Extra. The Rebels fall tonight in their home opener, 76-68 to the South Alabama Jaguars. You know, Mitch, maybe the Jaguars were just paying us back for that loss in 1975.
Yes.
The Rebels beat them. There you have it. It was a revenge game. Bobby Machado producing. You hang in there, folks. You're listening to Rebel Extra. We'll be right back after this.
Sound off on tonight's Runnin' Rebels game. ESPN 1198.9 FM is live. Now, back to the fellas and Rebel Extra.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. I'm Bernie Fratto. He's Mitch Moss. Give us a call, 364-1100, or text 69187, preface ESPN. Be part of the action. Rebels fall tonight in their home opener to a game South Alabama Jaguar team, 76-68. Your calls, 364-1100. We're going to get to individual statistics, team statistics, some numerical oddities tonight, some more individual observations about players, where they may fit in, and we'll pick you up to about 10:30, and in the end, I'm going to have a little bit of an analysis on what I think this team needs to do to compete more fervently and close out a game, because Mitch, as you said, in the second half, many times, the Rebels got within striking distance, couldn't get over the hump.
Absolutely. That, to me, was the story of what took place, along with I thought poor point guard play, which is going to be a gigantic thing to keep track of this year, the entire season. What's it going to be like when that 12-day stretch, when they take on Duke, Kansas, and Oregon? Oh, boy, that's going to be difficult.
And part of the reason they couldn't overcome that hump, inexperience. They weren't able to recognize situations, adapt, make adjustments. Too many offensive empty possessions, too many defensive lapses. We'll get to all that in just a minute. Phone lines lighting up. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Brian. Brian, thanks for checking in tonight, buddy.
Hey, not a problem at all. And if I'm at all redundant, please let me know. I got out of the car and I don't have the radio in the house, but I was listening. You guys, I think, are doing a great job, and you're speaking the way it is. I am amazed if anyone is thinking anything but they are what we thought they were.
Yeah.
They're not bad. They are learning. They're young. I think, Bernie, you said it great. They need a floor general desperately. I don't think Jalen Poyser's the guy. I think that Menzies will figure out the five guys that need to start. And, Mooring, the guy's got to quit trying to pretend he's Jerome Seegers. We can't see any more of that. A caller mentioned that a little bit ago. But the bottom line is these guys will be fine. They're growing together. They're brand new. I saw some things I really enjoyed out there. And I walked into the game, and a friend of mine told me at the game that they were laying 6 points. I would have been all over that like a hobo on a ham sandwich. I mean, no offense to UNLV. I said they'd lose by 7 today. They lost by 8.
Yep.
I'm not disappointed. I'm looking forward to the future, and I think Menzies will clean up this program. I think we'll be fine.
Thanks, Brian. Good phone call.
Covered a lot of ground, and I think if you listen to the subtext of what he's saying is let's not pin too much on any one game or certainly this season. It's going to be a while.
Right. Going back to the expectations thing, let's tie in last year's team or essentially any team under Dave Rice. Can you imagine if the team a year ago started off with an opening season loss to South Alabama? I mean, it would have been sky is falling in this entire valley. Now it's like, okay, we get it. Like, Brian gets it. Like, they're going to win, 8, 9, 10, 12 games this year? I don't understand. Like, you can't... for one season the patchwork job that Menzies has to do with guys that we've never heard of for the most part, right? Okay? It's a learning process for everybody here. And I mean, they lost to South Alabama. I'm not surprised. End of story.
It's one of those situations. I would give UNLV the edge in talent, but I give South Alabama the edge in experience, and that mattered tonight. I was impressed with South Alabama's defense. They came out early with the zone trap. They pressured the ball. They made a starter offense high. Halfway through the end of the first quarter, they went to a 1-2-1 zone. They confused the Rebels. They just simply did.
Yep.
Back out to the phone lines, we're joined by David. David, thanks for checking in tonight at Rebel Extra.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, David.
I was at that game tonight, you know, and like you said, it was a really great atmosphere.
Yeah.
And one question that I had is, I really don't know much about any of these players. I'm assuming a lot of them are probably transfers from other schools. But I was wondering, how much do you think it was of, like, jitters? It being, like, the first game at UNLV, the crowd was kind of lively. And kind of like you said, like, it seemed like every time we got the game close, the crowd kind of got up. And it was like they almost had, like a defensive lit down right after that. So I didn't know if a lot of these players have a lot of experience playing in front of, like, crowds and stuff like that.
Well, that's a very fair observation and a good observation. And I might even look at the inverse proportion of that, David. And here's what I mean. South Alabama finds out in their schedule they get a trip to Las Vegas. They're going to play in an 18,000-seat arena. They don't do that all year against a historic program with a national championship. I think South Alabama had a real bounce in their step, and the Rebels tried to match their energy, but due to their inexperience, collectively and individually, I think your point's taken. They were in a place they'd never been before.
Yeah, it looked like it, and it showed a little bit. It looks like there were times where you could kind of see them fumbling the ball and kind of trying to find themselves. It wasn't like they weren't trying. It's just they almost didn't have it yet. And it was the first game, I couldn't get mad at the guys, you know?
Fair enough. Thanks again for calling, David. Don't be a stranger. You know, the Rebels took a 13-6 lead, Mitch, early. Christian Jones came out, hit a couple of those mid-range jumpers. They looked strong. They were, you know, giving an effort. There were some bad possessions early, and South Alabama showed that they were going to be able to get their active hands involved in the lanes and create turnovers, which they did, which created fast-break turnouts. And once the game was tied at 18 apiece with about 9 minutes to go, I think a little doubt was inserted, and I think the Rebels did start to press. You could see it. Some of those offensive possessions looked eerily like last year. Uh-huh. One caller compared Javon Mooring to Jerome Seegers. You get the ball, come down, you're not even in your half-court set, you jack up a 20-footer, boom,
couple
the ball.
A couple of really bad shots from him.
There were more than just a couple. Mm-hmm.
On the text line, 69187, preface it with the ESPN, it says, this is like Trump, give Menzies a chance. That's a great text.
Well, he's going to have 4 years, I would say. They're both going to have 4 years, right?
Yeah, it didn't take long to get our first Menzies-Trump comparison.
Well, see, we have a very, very enlightened, very educated, very eclectic listening audience, clearly.
Okay, so give us the stat here.
Yes.
That really jumps off the page and blew you away.
You know, the best basketball conversation I ever had in my life was with Bobby Knight, name drop. But he said his philosophy was that if his team could make more free throws then he allowed the other team to shoot, he'd never lose. Tonight, the Rebels made 24 free throws. The South Alabama Jaguars only shot 9. They were 4-9 from the floor. Let me try that again in English. South Alabama was 4-9 from the charity stripe. The Rebels were 24 of 34.
Mm-hmm.
So you really couldn't complain too much about the officiating if you're getting to the line 34 times. I'll take that. If somebody would have told me that at noon today, I'd say, well, it looks like it's going to be a good night at the Thomas and Mack.
Then you would say, well, UNLV's lane 6? Sure, that makes sense now. So if the calls would have been even tonight, right, and each team either goes to the free throw line 9 times or 34 times, what are we talking about here, 25-point loss?
Oh, goodness. Boy. Well, I will tell you that statistic is somewhat undone by the fact that the running Rebels bench was outscored 29-3, and we're going to get to other statistics like that, which led to the inevitable result tonight. Back out to the phone lines, we're joined by Scott. Scott, thanks for checking in tonight on Rebel Extra.
I appreciate it, guys. I've been a longtime Rebel fan, gone for many years, and even when we had Dave Rice, we've came across the same problem last 5 years. It's the point guard play. I think if we had someone that actually ran the offense, I believe Menzies runs a motion offense, I think things would have turned out a lot better for us. It seemed that when Jalen was running the offense, he just put his head down and ran. And the same thing with Javon, they just kind of looked lost. And once they start doing, you know, running just towards the basket, everything just stopped for us. Beginning of the game, we moved the ball, and that's how we got that lead of, was it 13-4 or 13-6,
yeah,
or whatever. And I think that's where we really made our point, but then it stopped, and we never were able to regain it the whole game. And I think that's until we find a reliable offensive point guard, we're going to struggle.
That's very true.
The last 5 years.
You know, it's a good point, Scott. One of the challenges this team has had is that true blue point guard, Anthony Marshall, filled that role, even though he played out of position, probably, arguably, the most productive point guard in the last 6 years. But without that floor general, without that quarterback, where you play the position with your eyes, that can set up an offense and be patient and break down a defense and force the defense to work and get side-to-side ball movement and even work inside out if possible. We didn't see a lot of that tonight.
Exactly. I mean, Anthony Marshall, I remember him. He worked. He worked well, but it's just, you know, it's one of those players where they look for me, and it can't be that way. If the team is going to be successful, you know, we've got to find someone that's going to be able to do all those things that you said. And the sad thing is we just haven't been able to find it for 5+ years. And until we do, we're going to fall into the same pattern over and over and over.
Thanks a lot for checking in, Scott. We're going to take our final break of the evening. When we come back, we'll get into, again, some individual statistics and performances, some final observations, and a look ahead after this. He's Mitch Moss. I'm Bernie Fratto. Don't go away. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Now, back to Mitch Moss and Bernie Fratto at Culinary Dropout inside Hard Rock Hotel, breaking down the action of tonight's game.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, Mitch Moss, give us a call, 364-1100, or you can text in your thoughts at 69187. Please make sure to preface.
And we're in studio tonight.
ESPN, yes. We are in the studio compound here at Lotus Broadcasting headquarters, enjoying your calls and, frankly, enjoying the fact got to go to a basketball game. And I did enjoy it from the fan standpoint, Mitch, and being out on a Friday night. And the great city Las Vegas is, and how electric the Thomas Mack can be. We did see some glimpses of that tonight, actually.
What's more worrisome looking ahead? The point guard play, the overall defense, allowing a lot of offensive rebounds to go the way of the opponent. What stood out to you as the one thing you're like, oof, boy, they need to correct that, and I don't know if they can.
Well, what is certainly worrisome is the fact that UNLV has an epic schedule this year. Again, 1-3-5 preseason, you've got Duke, Kansas, and Oregon instead of a 12-day stretch. And just prior to that, you get to go to Arizona State and play Bobby Hurley. And that's like a fist fight in a phone booth. That's not going to be easy. You're going to get TCU with Ryan Miller and Jamie Dixon. Win, lose, or draw that game. You may get Washington or Western Kentucky the next day. It's a brutal schedule. Then you've got three of the first five in conference. But what I think is equally troublesome to me, but let's hope they can fix it, is both sides of the ball, there were some bothersome, you know, sequences tonight. Far too many times were there defensive lapses by the Rebels, not rotating out, not closing out to the shooter. Terrell Green, many instances, getting guys by you in the low post, not boxing out, not blocking out. The half-court defense that South Alabama presented UNLV gave us fits. Rebels had trouble driving the ball into the paint, into the rim. Jalen Poizer far too many times would dribble into triple traffic and spin around and try to create offense. And the problem is when you spin around and you've already turned your back to the basket, you come out of it, you've got to make a read. You're not able to understand what you're looking at. You're hoping to see an open rim, and it's not there. So there were not enough good offensive decisions, and the Rebels simply couldn't solve South Alabama's half-court defense. Are those things correctable? Yes, but there are many times issues between the years. On the upshot, the Rebels had four players in double figures, Tyrell Green with 10, Chris Clyburn with 13, Jalen Poizer with 17, and, of course, Christian Jones, as we mentioned earlier, a double-double, 20 points and 10 rebounds. On the other hat, on the other side of the coin, though, Mitch, Rebels, 2 of 15 from three-point land.
That's where I wanted to go next. Okay.
Go ahead.
2 of 15 from downtown. So who for this team, which players will be the go-to shooters on the team this year? Which player when they're going to need a basket, right? And we know Jones tonight on the baseline, I mean, he's got a solid game, right? From mid-range, 15 feet in.
Yes.
He's really, really good. He's going to be the best player on the team, right? Outside, when Poizer's now going to be acting as the point, right? Who is the reliable hand that you can pass the ball to and say, we need a three, please get us one?
Well, I think Chris Clyburn, although I wouldn't certainly classify him as a three-point shooter, he was 0-for-2 tonight, has a knack for scoring. He's a scorer. He's proven to be able to break a guy down off the dribble, get to the rim, create. But all these guys are a little overzealous, especially Jalen Poizer. If the game was on the line, I'd want to design a play to get it to Christian Jones. Like you said, that mid-range jumper, he scores up nicely. He's got good footwork. He's got a consistent release. He goes up strong. He's built. He's a senior. He's been around, played in the Big East. I don't think any moment's going to be too big for him. Jovan Mooring right now, a little bit too much in love with his shot. Ochi Ofebu had some decent games at USF last year. He might be a little overzealous with his offense. It's more about making good decisions individually and collectively. The Rebels, believe it or not, it didn't feel like it, but they out-rebounded South Alabama tonight, 46-42.
You're absolutely right. If you watch that game for 2 hours, you would not walk away thinking that they out-rebounded that team.
But part of it was the fact that South Alabama got 73 shots off, and the Rebels only got 57. And South Alabama launched 27 three-pointers and only made 8. That's where the Rebels were fortunate. Had South Alabama been able to knock a few of those more down, we would have been blown out tonight. And the question you have to ask yourself, Mitch, is why would they be able to shoot 27 threes? Because they had open looks.
Oh, they absolutely
did. That's the problematic part.
Yeah, and so again, back to the broadcast crew of John and Robert, they were pretty difficult on Green,
mm-hmm.
calling him out for the body language.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care for that. Is he going to be the guy that you're going to say, you know what, let's drop a play for him out of a timeout, get him an open shot? He made both of the threes tonight. Is he the guy that you have?
He's a capable three-point shooter. He's certainly not a low post player. He is a capable three-point shooter. It all comes down to making good decisions with the basketball. There were multiple possessions in the second half where the Rebels had a chance. They closed it to 53-51 on Poizer's putback, 8 minutes to go. At that point, I thought we might pull this game out. The crowd was very noisy, very active. Rebels get the ball back. This time, Poizer dribbles into a triple team. They lose the ball. There's a run out the other way. And now, next thing you know, South Alabama's up by 6 again. So it's all about having quality possessions, being patient. If the Rebels can be patient on offense, patience breaks teams down. Instead of looking to score and being selfish, which I saw some of tonight, value every possession. But it seems like this is a conversation we've had in most Rebel extras for the past 5-6 years.
Long, long time. As for the Mountain West tonight, okay, so the Rebels lost at home to South Alabama 76-68. The only other loss inside the conference came to the intrastate rival up north.
Nevada trailed is by as much as 17 last I saw to a very good St. Mary's team, currently ranked 17th in the country.
Because Nevada was picked top 2 to finish in the Mountain West Conference, right, along with San Diego State. And you look at it, they were catching 11.5 or 12 tonight. St. Mary's is very good.
Yes.
And St. Mary's eventually beat them by 18, 81-63.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big win.
St. Mary's is really, really good. They have been for a long time under Randy Bennett. San Diego State struggled at home against...
They did. San Diego.
San Diego. But they
fortunately, the game wasn't played at Petco this year.
No kidding. But they won by 10.
Right. Well, what we have tonight are a lot of first impressions. This team will have to find its confidence. They're going to have to find its identity. They're going to have to do a better job of sharing the ball, in my view. They've got to be better off in half-court sets on both sides of the ball. We're obviously nowhere near the finished product. The freshmen are going to be critical this year. They've got to develop a better defensive sense of urgency, and they have to be more assignment sound. They have to communicate better. They have to switch better. They have to become more consistent. Can these things come with experience? As I said at the top of the show, this is an inexperienced team cobbled together in the last few minutes from a bunch of young kids from all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
The question will become, can you make the whole better than the sum of its parts?
Next up, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Thomas and Mack against UC Riverside. Will they get it together by then? They have nearly a week to get ready for this team. They don't have to travel, get some practices in, correct their mistakes, and beat Riverside. They're going to win that game?
Based on what I saw tonight, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough duty. It's going to be tough. Riverside's a nice, pesky club. They took the Rebels to task last year. Again, they'll bring in some good athletes. Don't know enough about them to comment intelligently. But the Rebels were their own worst enemy tonight. When you turn the ball over 16 times and your bench is outscored 29-3 and you shoot 25 more free throws than the other team, but you're not able to really get any consistent offensive flow, especially in the second half when you needed it most, there were too many forced threes. There were too many, I would think, forced shots when players were double-teamed. And it's a matter, I think, of getting minutes, quality minutes on the floor, getting a Dwayne Morgan back. I don't know the status of him. One of the things we're going to do this year on Rebel Extra, and we'll probably start next Wednesday, is have Mark Anderson on periodically. Maybe not every show, but probably every other show. He'll have a better grasp. Mark's the beat writer for the Rebels, for the Review Journal. He'll have a better grasp on when is Dwayne Morgan coming back. What is really the nature of his injury? We know he had hip surgery, but we don't really know those specifics. Chekne Dembele, we know he has a heel-foot issue, and they're going to need him. And it's my understanding he's viewed as a project, but that doesn't mean he might not come in and contribute some valuable minutes. Without him or Jorge Silvanchinen, you might play this season with a 6'7 center, and that's going to be an issue.
Right. The height tonight really jumped off the page, too.
And then, again, this is against South Alabama.
Oh, that's going to be a problem, sure. So of the issues that we have talked about here, right, which one bothers you the most from tonight when you look at the stats? The 29-3, getting outscored that way from the bench, out shooting South Alabama 34-9 at the free throw line and still not winning. What concerns you the most?
The turnovers, because most of those were self-inflicted wounds created by mental mistakes. Yeah. Whereby there was no offensive cohesiveness, or as I said earlier, sharing the ball. I can't say we got out-hustled and out-worked the entire night. I thought the Rebels played hard. I do think South Alabama was a little scrappier in certain situations, but I just think they were more assignment sound. You could tell they had played together.
Mm-hmm. Well, and by the way, another thing that comes with experience and how they played together, if you paid attention to their bench in the entire second half, I'm talking about the head coach, all of the assistants. They were standing up. They were yelling at players, giving them their assignments. They were cheering. The entire bench, players, staff, everybody stood up for almost the entire second half, and they were going nuts, celebrating, encouraging their teammates. That was from, as the opponent here coming to the Thomas and Mack, I was like taking that in, thinking to myself, wow, I wish every team would be like that.
I sat courtside, and they were chirping the entire game in a positive way. Make them work. They were reminding each other about things on how to anticipate and beat your man to the spot on the floor. Defense is basically desire, and they showed it. And there was a lot of communication. You mentioned the go-to guy. Remember one of our early shows last year, Mitch? We speculated, well, this team's really talented. This is last year when the Rebels started 7-1. We didn't know what would happen. We don't know who their go-to guy was. Well, South Alabama has a couple. Nick Stover, Ken Williams, Shaq Calhoun. We need to develop that guy. Final thoughts, Mitch?
Don't overreact to tonight. That's how I'll leave it. Don't be surprised that they lost to South Alabama just because you look at the opponent and say, who? What? They have a basketball team? Yeah, they did. And don't just sit here and say, well, forget about it. I'm never... Show up like you did tonight at Thomas and Mack. I thought it was a fun
crowd
tonight, and I would take that for the entire year.
Mitch, good to see you, buddy. Well said. Don't overreact. That's going to do it for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra. On behalf of my broadcast team, Bobby Machado and Mitch Moss, I'm Bernie Fratto, bidding you good night. Next up for the Runner Rebels, Wednesday night date, with the UC Riverside Highlanders at the Thomas and Mack, 7 p.m. We'll see you then. Tonight's final score, South Alabama, 76, UNLV, 68. Good night, folks. Drive safely. Go Rebels.